Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show, so stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.
This is To The Point, a Rhino experience, voted one of the top home services marketing and operations podcasts, cutting through the bullshit and getting to the point.
Hey, what's up, To The Point listeners? It is your boy back from Vegas, and I'm excited for this episode. Like I always say, I'm excited for this. I wouldn't bring somebody on here if I wasn't excited about the episode. But this is one that I heard a little bit about when I was in Las Vegas and people talking about connected home stuff, smart thermostats. Boy, it's not like it's new. So why are people asking me questions about it? So why not have a podcast about it? So I think we're only a couple weeks removed from being in Las Vegas at the Service Rocket Growth Summit, Profit Growth Summit, Service Something Summit, and Service World Expo that was down in Tampa. And I'm excited to bring our guest on, Mr. Gene Lanois, who is a director of professional enterprise industry partnerships. I hope that's correct. Of Google and actually Nest Pro. You are a Nest expert. Gene, welcome to the show, my man.
Thanks, Chris. Happy to be here. I'm a, you know, call it a listener and always wondered whether or not we'd have some content that might be meaningful to your audience.
I think we tried to get this thing done at AHR Expo maybe, or somewhere before, I can't remember, because how we got connected was by my vice president of digital strategy, Peter Simpson, who was the director of marketing over at ARS Rescruiter for like 10 years. Yeah. So you guys had done some stuff together, and he shared with me before this. Listen, if you got to know Peter, he's a very like dry sense of humor. He's not as much like me, a big extrovert, but he's funny. He's got some funny stuff too. Super sharp.
His delivery of the funny line is what makes it funny.
Because it's just not the same. The delivery will throw you off if you're not paying attention. Good dude. He did a little video with Martha Stewart on the Nest, like the whole connected thing. And that was, and so he shared it with me, and I just literally just shared it with my entire company about him. And I said, Peter, now you've got street cred because you're with the queen of homemaking, you know, not only in the home, but also, I mean, in a jail cell, like Peter's got street cred.
Hanging out at her house. If I recall, a guy on my team was with Peter when they were filming that. And I forget the exact meal, but she literally, if I remember correctly, she cooked him something to eat. And I was like, how was it? And he was like, oh, it was so good.
So she made me the best bologna sandwich I've ever had.
I think it was egg something. I don't remember exactly what it was. But, you know, Peter is not only, you know, chilling with Martha, but she's making him lunch or something. So
dude, kind of cool. It was cool. So I watched the little video. It was very short. All you do, if you're listeners, you want to hear, you can just Google Martha Stewart Nest and you'll find it. But this podcast is around like the whole connected home stuff, thermostat. And it was coming up a lot this, I guess when we're listening to it a couple weekends ago, and it still continues to come up. So I'm always intrigued by it. I'm glad we finally got to connect. And I want you to go ahead and let our listeners know. I mean, because if you've not really put much thought into it, and whether you're a Nest fan or not is irrelevant. Like this is really about just that world and what's it going to look like in the future. And what's it look like now? And what are some of the things you love about it and some of the things that you hate about it? And I'm going to go through these things with Gene. So Gene, if you would, right from the start, let's just go ahead and, before we get into what your background is, the way I look at this, because I'm for those who might be listening for the first time, I'm the CEO of a company called Rhino Strategic Solutions, which is a digital marketing company for the home services industry since 2008. So 15 years I've been in the trade specifically. And guess what? One of my main tools is Google. Guess what Google bought? Nest. I mean, and you were at Nest for what, like 5 years or something like that prior. So I think all in between that purchase and you being at Google, you're roughly around like the 9-year time frame of kind of being in the same space. But Google bought Nest for $3.2 billion in what, 14, Gene? Is that 2014?
Yeah, well, yeah, January of 14 and closed in February of 14. So not only was it, I mean, just it was a super fast closing. And when I tell you it was like life-changing, it was life-changing in so many ways. And I've been in the industry since 1991, right? So for your listeners, I started off as an HVAC contractor in Western Massachusetts. And from there, I held various different roles. I went from a contractor, sold my business in the 90s. There was tons of consolidation. From there, moved into a manufacturer side controls, was with Honeywell for 8 years. And then I decided to get into the wholesale distribution side. That wholesale distribution side, it led me to this relationship with Nest, and Nest was a startup. But what I didn't know is, coming from the legacy HVAC world, what a fast pace a Silicon Valley startup was. The thing that I'll say out loud in like casual conversations is, I realized that I was sort of on vacation when I was doing those other jobs. Besides running my own business, when I was running my own business, it was, you know, you're playing with your own rent money. You are working day, night, thoughts in between everything. Yep. But that time in between, all of a sudden in the startup world, and not only was I in a startup, a Tech Valley startup, but I was in a Tech Valley startup in an industry talking to a lot of people that knew nothing about HVAC. And so the communication and the pace and the, I didn't know what an API was back in that day, right? Somebody started saying API. I had to go look up what an API was because I just wasn't exposed. So totally different world, totally different environment, wouldn't change the experience whatsoever. And it has allowed me to build something that I think is impactful on a lot of trades, but certainly heavily impactful on the HVAC trade. And that's not only the contractors, but it's the manufacturers and it's the wholesalers. So it's really, really cool to just be putting I call it a little bit of a footprint in the history of the industry.
Yeah, because you've been all three of those.
Yeah.
So you've done all of it. Because we went from the Honeywell stuff into one of the Watsco, right?
Yeah, well, Carrier and Enterprise, and then just a Watsco corporate role. So they were launching the Gree mini ductless split line on an exclusive. And so that became my job. Like, let's get this brand out there. And that led me to these opportunity to see Nest. Nest was a startup. They did the unveiling in front of me and they were like, what do you think? And I was like, I think you're going to kill it. I said, here's the things I think you need to change. And so, you know, when you look at the iconic Nest Learning Thermostat, there's a Gen 1. That's the same thing I saw on the unveiling. There was a Gen 2 that incorporated, I'm proud to say, a number of feature sets that I thought was really important from a contractor perspective. And then, of course, I was there on the Gen 3 as well. But yeah, the experience of being a contractor, doing that work, being a business owner, and then working in the controls industry, and then being on the wholesale side, and dealing with contractors on, you know, just hearing the different things that concern them. I've been able to take all of that and bring it to work every day.
Yeah. Well, then let's just jump right into it because I mean, the name of the podcast is To the Point, so we can get to the point. Well, but I legit want to, you know, just to address that, you know, kind of like you and I were talking a little bit about pre-podcast is, you know, some love it, some don't. And some aren't educated enough, believe it or not. And I want to talk about some of those things. So if we can, I mean, you know, some will say, man, it's really hard to, you know, to mark up from the retail price, or it's, you know, technicians don't like dealing with the Wi-Fi, or, sure, you know, or explaining how it works, or just set it at, you know, 72 degrees. But how do you help like some of these people or these contractors that aren't fans or don't get it, or have those frustrations, to kind of get over that hump and be successful with it?
There, it sort of depends on the pressure point that they're pointing on, right? But the thing that really frustrated a lot of contractors about Nest when it first came out was the fact that it was transparent pricing to the customer, right? The customer knew that a Nest thermostat in that day, and still now, was $249.
And can't come off it. I mean, they know what the price is.
There it was. What I've always said is, well, and we did a few things. Like, one, once I got involved in the business, we changed some of the price structure. We tried to add a little bit more margin to the overall channel, right? To the wholesaler, to the contractor. But you're still in this, you know, constrained margin perspective, because a product costs something and get a retail price on. Then what we did is we also created value of creating a pro specific SKU, right? So it was a different model number, different box. And then we added the warranty to go to 5 years, while the consumer warranty in retail was 2. So we wanted to give the pro some more separation and value to sell. But I think the bigger thing that I ran into and my team runs into, and has always, most of our sales really happen when a system is being sold. And, there's most contractors are giving what I call, the full pizza price, versus your system is $10,000 and the thermostat is $249. Include the Nest in your 10,000 or your 10,500 or your 20,000 or whatever the number is. There's really no reason to break it out, and you can make whatever margin you want. I think, you know, for a while there, we've come so far with contractors and have built a lot of credibility, because there's consumers love and want our product. They just don't know, you know, they buy less than 2 systems in their entire lifetime. So their experience on buying an HVAC system is pretty limited. They want the product. They just don't know if they can have it based on what the contractor is suggesting. And, contractors can go with the point of least resistance and include a Nest thermostat. Customer wants it, helps you sell the job. But what we've also been doing in the background is continuing to build value for the contractor. And now, you know, we created what was called a Pro ID. So when you sign up for a Nest Pro, you get your Pro ID, you enter it into the thermostat. Every thermostat that is on a wall and every new one that comes out of a box, as soon as it's lit up, we download what's called HVAC monitoring. So we're able to see when a system's not running correctly. And if something's not running correctly, we digitally, using technology, enable that homeowner, that customer that contractor worked super hard for. We tell them, this is who installed it. Do you want to contact them? Do you want to reach them? Here's their information. And then depending upon their level of desired interaction, the customer can literally push a blue button, schedule the call with that contractor. And that's a paid visit. It's not like they're expected to go out there for free. That's a paid job. And then whatever that repair is that needs to be done, that's between the contractor and the homeowner. So like the transparent pricing, one, I think there's a level of reality of how the business works. And then two, why would you not want to use a thermostat that is going to use technology to keep you connected to your consumer? Everybody wants to keep their customer. So I think, you know, there's a lot of steps there that we've done and that we continue to do to build value and separation from the standard big box business. And all the big manufacturers are also in those same big boxes. But we do take a little bit of some extra ribbing, it seems like, sometimes.
Yeah. And I have some of the questions around the OEMs too. So I want to, and I'm like, so that makes a lot of sense to you. I mean, on the diagnostic type stuff too. And I'm going to, and I actually have that as a question a little bit later of what that looks like and the progression of that.
Yeah.
But now listen, you got plenty of fans too, right? That do love this, you know, that have figured out how to, sell it or do really understand the value. And so how do you see like some of the contractors using, and obviously since you work for Nest, let's just talk about that specifically.
Sure.
How are they using that to get ahead of their competitors? Because, it does more than just temperature, right? Because like even on the video I watched with Peter and Martha Stewart, she basically was like, hey, you know, show me my, greenhouse camera or something like that. And yeah, it shows like the camera pop up because you have like the smoke and the CO detectors or cameras.
Yes. I mean, we got a wider rate. I always feel like I want to give credible information to your audience, and I don't want to sound like a commercial. But there are certain things that I do want to like, just make sure that the audience knows at the same time. We've got the largest smart home portfolio under one app, right? The interesting piece is that the thermostat opens up the opportunity for all those other products. Because to install the thermostat, you need to have the app. And once you have the app, now, if you want to have the cameras, it's going to run off the same app. You want the door lock, it's going to run off the same app. Doorbell, Wi-Fi, you name it, like all that stuff. And you can run third-party products. You want to control lighting, blinds, shades, fans, coffee maker, your Roomba, whatever. Like that thermostat opens up that opportunity. And I think years ago it was different. And the industry, I think, is still looking and making comparisons to this is a Wi-Fi connected stat and that's a Wi-Fi connected stat. And what I'm always trying to get the industry to understand is once you install that thermostat, you now have an array of products to be able to consistently talk to that customer about. And most of them are super hot products that they want to know about. They just don't know that a contractor is capable of doing it. You know, a doorbell is two wires and it's 24 volts. We connect that stuff on thermostats all day long, right? But a HVAC contractor does not see themselves as being in the camera business. But the infrastructure of smart home is so critical because it's going to touch everything that has power going to it at some point here in the near future. Your refrigerator, your dishwasher, your stove, your solar power, your EV charger, whatever it may be, smart home is going to touch that. And, you know, arguably you're either running your home from a Google assistant where you saw Martha ask to see a camera, or you're using that other brand. But that platform of running your home from a display and or voice is going to touch everything. And so there is a big opportunity that starts with the thermostat. It's a major entry point and it doesn't rely on weather. It doesn't rely on a catastrophic event. And most consumers really want some of those smart home things. That's why the industry is growing so fast. Yeah. So it's more about how do we ensure a contractor can feel comfortable about entering. You know, Wi-Fi, you said it, Chris. There is an HVAC contractor going to sell Wi-Fi? Probably doesn't have very high interest point in doing that. But the answer is they can if they want, but you need to be comfortable that if something doesn't work, does your customer know to call us to deal with that Wi-Fi, or are they going to call their office and now they don't know how to diagnose that? So I get that. Those are real risks, in the business.
You mentioned we started kind of talk about the manufacturers a little bit. Yeah. I mean, clearly this has forced them to step up the game. What are you seeing in that whole world? Like, I mean, are you, it's, I mean, when you think back to when this thing first started coming out, like Gen 1 and yeah. where smart and where smart thermostats are at today, I mean, clearly this thing was pushing that, yeah. that industry, that part of the industry to get better technology, do all these things.
Yeah.
How are you kind of seeing that thing change? And how are the, like, what are the, like, from your perspective, how important is this to the OEMs? Like, how much attention do you think they are focusing on this piece of the business right now? Because the way I've always somewhat viewed this, I shouldn't say always, but let's say the last 7-8 years of me being in the trades too, I've always kind of looked at, this is like the nucleus that everybody wants to own the wall, own the wall. Because think about it. Like, you could be, I remember going through a consolidation with one of my customers, and they were a major, major player, and they were consolidated by like a $400 million privately held security company, home security company.
Yep.
And the thought process was, well, I want to own the wall, security, HVAC. Like, and I was like, that's the first time I really had thought like, oh shit, that makes so much sense. Yeah. You want to own the wall. And if you look now today, it makes so much sense. Why? Because like you just said, it should be touching everything, whether it's your security, your cameras, your UV, like your, you said your EV charger, which I've got, like all the things, and I can do it from a phone.
Yep.
So I see how important this thing is. And I'm curious because sometimes, even though the OEMs have all this R&D, they still aren't like getting these things squared away. And there's always something like, there's always something new and better that comes along with it. But what are you seeing with like the manufacturers in this whole space?
I name a manufacturer in the space and I'll just tell you, yes, I talked to them, right? Like there's conversations that continue to happen across the board, because I think there's been some realization, you know, there are manufacturers out there that thought that maybe they would be the operating system of the home. And it just hasn't necessarily worked out for a lot of those same reasons that I talked about, of a contractor not seeing themselves as the person that would install video door, right? But all the OEMs, I would say to this point, have kind of realized that they need to figure out the right ways to participate in that smart home and make sure that their stuff is super relevant. And I think there's a number of factors that will play a role in that. The electrification of the home involves heavy heat pump, to be included as part of that. And so that process also takes into account a whole bunch of other things that are smart, and they don't want, I think everybody's come to the realization that people want less apps and less, you know, outside things. I don't want one app for my light, one app for my, my thermostat, and one app for my door lock or whatever it may be.
Yep.
So I think the OEMs, are really interested in how they play a significant role, but the amount of information that's in an HVAC system, and that the information to be transmitted from that unit to some type of customer facing, delivery, it varies because different units have different pieces of information. And a lot of these things are not in great places. They're in attics, they're in, you know, basements or in crawl spaces, and they're in metal boxes. So how do you get the signal from point A to point B is also a concern. But one of the big things I think the industry needs to know about, that the consumer electronics industry is probably up to speed faster on, is a protocol called Matter. And Matter is, it is a protocol that is being invested and utilized by Apple, by Samsung, by Google, by Amazon. And is it the unicorn that you know, everybody is now going to use this one protocol to talk and communicate with each other. I hope so. Like, this sounds like the best chance that we've ever had versus, are we going to do Bluetooth? Are we going to do Zigbee? Are we going to do Z-Wave? Is it Wi-Fi? Like, all of those still need to exist in some form or fashion. But to get everybody to really interconnect, if you will, is an opportunity for Matter. And I think that the OEMs have an opportunity to participate with that, so that, you know, you can drop a piece of equipment in someone's home and you can put a thermostat on the wall for the convenience, right? But it's not, there isn't more technical wiring. In fact, the only thing you probably need is power. And now all of a sudden, that system can deliver all of its information, regardless if you're operating on my platform, you're operating on an Apple or an Amazon or a Samsung. So I think that's what everybody sees. And the question is like, when and how do we start to incorporate that in the strategy at the manufacturing level?
Got it. Well, I'm interested in a couple of things you'd said. One, you know, I want to go back to something you said earlier, and then I'm gonna move on to my next question. But do you think there's a time in one of these next gens that are coming where there is no wires? It's just wireless.
You always need power, but do you need to wire up things to, you know, it's a heat pump, so I need a reversing valve wire. I think the answer is no. I think it's well within reach that you won't have to do that, right? I mean, today you install a TV and you hook it up to Wi-Fi, and then you can stream any content from anywhere in the world, and it just knows it because it's speaking a common language, you know, IP, to grab that and do that. And hell, we should be able to do that on an air conditioner.
I know, man. Like I said, it blows my mind. Like I travel a ton I'm guessing you probably travel a ton too. And so when I got back from Las Vegas a few weekends ago, I went straight up to my cabin because I needed like an R&R day. And I only have streaming, like all the TVs are streaming.
Yeah.
And so it's just like, it's crazy to think through that. Like even when I look at connected TV, like from a marketing perspective, OTT or something like that, where there's a lot of cord cutters now who aren't even like worried about cable at all. Like it's not even a thing. Yeah. There's a generation that has no idea what the hell that even is.
I only have Wi-Fi coming in my home. I don't have any more cable, right?
Well, like, and I do. It's because I live in Arizona and I love to watch Purdue football, even though they suck, but true. Purdue basketball.
We all have reasons.
yes, I overpay for it. But point being is 95% of the time I'm streaming something. If I ever get the chance to watch TV, I'm streaming it. So, but that's why I was asking that question too, is just like, you know, when I leave it, like with our cabin, for example, it's got this old ass the old dial thermostat in there. Like when this thing was originally built.
Yeah.
And I want to get it out of there. And I want to change some of the things up in there. And I'm thinking, man, this would be a hell of a lot nicer if I could just like get one and put it on the wall and not have to wire any, like it just boom, sticks and it's done. And it controls my thing. Well, shit, my equipment wouldn't speak to it right now because it needs to be changed out too. So, if one of our Prescott Arizona dealers is listening right now, hit me up because I need to update my units. But you know, I love the technology. I mean, obviously I live in the technology world, but this is where my two worlds cross over is this whole, you know, HVAC, the thermostats, things like that. But it just does so much more. Well, I have so many apps on my phone that I have to put a little folder to say, hey, I'm going to control my outdoor lights from my phone because I'm out of town a bunch. And I'm like, oh, you know what? I'm gone. It's now October. I want to change the outdoor lights to orange. So that way it's cool because I always decorate my house for seasons.
Super.
But but look at this. If I showed you my app, this is what we're talking about. I've got 7 different apps within one folder that control all of my shit. And I'm like, how can I bypass this thing finally and have just one single source like to go to? And I'm not sure that's like, you know, but it's got to get down. It's going to go down that path.
To a degree, it's already happening. You know, I've got 70, 71. I'm not trying to brag. I'm trying to get everybody. I'm trying to make a point that I've got 71 devices that I run off of my Google Home app. And those aren't all Google products, right? I'm running lighting, shades, fans, my Roomba,
speakers, vacuum, your Roomba. Right?
I can run almost anything off of that if it's connected. And I think that's the part, you know, we aren't going to make everything. Google is going to make everything. We don't want to make everything. What we do want though, is we want all the manufacturers that do make connected stuff or want to make connected stuff. We literally are trying to build what we call the helpful home. And so if we can take something that's a really awesome product and enable that to just seamlessly operate in our ecosystem so that you can speak it out loud or operate it from the same panel where you're running everything else, that's the goal. That's the cool part. But it takes engineers and it takes engineering and it takes some time, but I every year it just gets bigger. And there's more stuff that you're able to do. And I think that there is opportunities for so many things. You know, you can be in your kitchen and cutting an onion and you may want to know how much charge you have in your car. You should be able to just have that information up in front of you, right? I think that there's opportunities where when a system breaks down, we're surfacing contractors' information, but you know, you should be able to just book the appointment while you cut the onion. All of that is there. So it's only going to get more. It's only going to get faster. So to the listening audience, like start to dabble. Don't roll with it. You don't have to do the whole thing, but start to participate, I think. And it doesn't matter. Even if you're not going to use Google, you're going to use some other connected stat. That's fine too, but get involved with the business and figure out the right ways for your stuff to be super relevant to a customer's life and how they live in the home. The smart thermostat business is not going to get smaller. It is only going to get bigger. So
100%.
I feel like I've got enough credibility and experience to say is, as a contractor, if you're not 80% smart right now, you're probably behind the schedule on what you want to be. Yeah. Right. And I know that the business isn't there yet. So I'm speaking to like a lot of contractors, a lot of pros, but there is no reason from a business decision standpoint, like it's your business. It's your job to run that business and be profitable with your business and have success in your business. Using smart thermostats is the smart thing to do in your business. That would be like, that's a major thing that I would kind of just boldly say.
Yeah, I think that's a good call out. I think one thing you mentioned that I love too is just the voice side of this whole thing. Because you, like, here's a perfect example. My littlest girl, she's 7. I got 4 kids. I got my youngest daughter's 7 years old. So like she's got a relationship with like Alexa in our kitchen, right? Cause she's asking questions. But so this is for all of our listeners right now. If you don't have any headphones on, like you're in the car, you're at home listening to this or whatever, it's playing on a speaker. I want you to turn it up right now. Turn it up. You're going to thank me for this. So you get that thing turned up. Okay. Google, tell me a good Halloween joke. Hopefully right now your Google Home service is telling you a good Halloween joke or whatever. Point being is I love that you can even now just talk to your stuff. Like you can talk to these different smart devices too. And point being of that whole thing is like that to my 7-year-old daughter is normal. Like that's never, it would be weird that she didn't have that. And so that was my whole point with that whole thing too. I just was trying to have fun with saying, I really hope that worked on somebody and their device started telling them a Halloween joke or something. But that's kind of the realistic, you know, the reality of what this, of what life is like.
Well, yeah. And I'm, you know, even as the Google guy, right.
Right.
I'm still older generation, at 52. Right. Yeah. And it was my kids who, when I wanted to change the temperature, I was either using my phone or I was, you know, when I was standing up, I was walking by it. And my kids were like, why do you do that? Why don't you just ask Google to do it? It was a little bit of developing the habit. And so I just started to force myself. And now, like, if I can't use my voice, it feels like it's a pain in the neck. Like, oh, I got to physically go do that.
Yep.
So, and that's where everything's gonna still, it's just gonna trend that way, like it or not, right? So ride the wave, and take advantage of it. Make money on it.
I want to go into this one piece before we go further. I just go back to something you started talking about, which was diagnostic like type stuff, and the thermostat being proactive and those things. And now I know you talk about how it can say, hey, you know, it can understand the problem or understand that there is an problem and communicate with the homeowner. And then the homeowner connects with the contractor to finish the job or to get the thing done, whatever it is. Is there a point in time? Well, there is a point in time when this is going to happen. I just don't know how far down the road it is, but at what point does it even remove that from the process where the homeowner, it actually understands there's an issue, potentially what the issue is, and dispatches the contractor before the homeowner even knows there's a problem? How far out is that in your opinion?
I don't think it's far out. I think there is a little bit of, you know, what we call the creepy factor where,
yeah,
you know, you didn't know about it, but the dude's at your door, right?
100%. Yeah. I mean, I get all that. And but I'm trying to think about, like, yeah, that's weird. It is super weird. Just like it's weird as shit that I can have DoorDash drop food off at my front door and not say anything to me, take a picture and text it to me. You know, and didn't even say anything to me. I just had some random person come and drop off my food at my front door and not even talk to me.
The difference is, I think, and this is the important piece, and we totally recognize this and we're believers in it. It's about the customer opting in for that, saying, yes, that is how I want. When my stuff goes wrong, I do want my contractor to know about it. And so that they're helping, you know, deal with this right away, and also giving the consumer or the homeowner the ability to say, no, I want to know about it and I'll handle it. Right. Respecting both areas. And I get as a contractor that you want to be notified. I totally, totally get it. And I'm with you. We want you to be notified. So I think that there is more room for that. It is absolutely a desire, want, and call it a possible need, you know, in the business.
Yeah, man. It's just something. I mean, did you know, like, I asked that because I'm like, I am genuinely interested in the thought process behind all this because I see a lot of it like that too. Is it too abrasive? Is it too intrusive? Is, you know, when do you lose, like, do you feel like you lose control? You know, I don't know, but like, here's a perfect example too. I have with my cabin, I have a whole home generator, right? I have a Generac home generator up there that I have the app for that lets me know if there's an outage or whatever. It sits at the top of a mountain. So there's a lot of crazy weather at 7,000 feet. So I love the fact that it does that. And my company that hooked it up actually has, you know, access to that information as well. And they're not going and doing anything about it. But the whole point that, you know, the whole home generator is to be the backup, you know, plan. But I still know about when it all goes on. I love that idea because I'm not there. I would have no idea. I mean, other than because even my security systems are on Wi-Fi. And just because that went out doesn't mean my security systems are went out because they've got. So, I mean, it's just I'm so interested in that. And how far down the road is that from everyone's perspective? I mean, I get asked that as if I'm supposed to be the expert in this, but I think maybe it's because I'm connected to so many players that I hear these things, I think more frequently than others. And it's just something I'm genuinely interested in, which is why I asked you that question.
I don't think it's that far away.
Well, me either, man. But it is interesting. I'll be curious to see when that becomes something and what that, like how that shifts. Like I could never in a million years, my grandpa, retired farmer, this would blow him away right now, all of these things.
Well, I mean, think about it. The what do we do in the business? We put stickers on things. We hope that they'll look at those stickers. We'll send out mailers. We try to do service agreements. Some contractors have, people making calls, trying to schedule appointments for preventative maintenance, et cetera. All of that, I don't think that goes away. But, you know, I when I talk about HVAC monitoring, I've got this picture in this deck that we talk to contractors and wholesalers and even OEMs about, where it's this furnace. And I ran into it. It's a furnace. It's got three different contractor stickers on it. And who wins? I don't know who wins. Whoever that homeowner thinks maybe they called last time, versus using technology that prompts you, tells you the information, can literally connect you at a press of a button. It's now as simple as DoorDash, right? That is where the business is right now. And so if you're not doing that and you're still putting on a sticker, you're at a, in my opinion, you're at a disadvantage and you're compromising opportunity in your business. That's my biggest message to contractors. Now, I'm at an event here. I'm traveling. I was at an event last night. I'm at another one tonight. I won't be talking about our thermostats whatsoever. I'll be talking about HVAC monitoring tonight. Yep. Everything that I'm going to be talking about is HVAC monitoring, because I know how I used to spend so much money trying to get every single customer. Why would I take the risk of those customers forgetting? Again, they don't, you know, as much as I think heating and cooling is sexy, there's a lot of people out there that don't find it sexy, right? So stay connected.
Hey, that's great. HVAC monitoring. How many NIST thermostats are on walls? Do you know? I know I kind of threw it out there.
Publicly, it's well over 10 million.
Damn. Okay. Cool. Man, you got in such a good time, bro. Shit.
Chris, trust me. I know. I feel so fortunate to, have been able to go on that ride and meet some of the people. Like, listen, I got a chance to work with Tony Fadell. Tony Fadell, he created the thermostat, he created the iPod, he created the iPhone. I got a chance to work with that guy. I'm an HVAC contractor out of Western Massachusetts. I feel blessed that I got a chance to just work with that guy. And Matt Rogers, I got a chance to work with him.
Yeah, that's right.
And there's a whole bunch of other folks that I could rattle off, and I'll sound like Johnny Name Dropper here. It's not my intention. My intention is to get across that I know it. I'm super fortunate to be able to do what I do when I did it and participate in all it. And I am making things happen that I'm really, really proud of sometimes, because I know that we're helping guys that play with their own rent money every day. They're contractors, yeah. Right? And I was one of those dudes, and I always wear that hat. I always think of it in that manner. I try to get across without sounding like the Google guy. I want to be your fellow contractor in the conversation, really. So,
yeah, that's good. I mean, that is your connecting point. That's the added credibility, is that's your core. That's what you were. And so you are no different, and you're pulling from that. You just are now in this world.
Totally. And it's really, really cool. If there was one wish that I had for the industry, I would just want to turn up the volume on progression just a little bit, right? That would be my my dream.
Yeah, I'm 100% on board with that too. But I'll tell you what, I started playing in the roofing industry and I realized when I thought the HVAC industry was behind, that one is significantly further behind. So then it makes me feel really good about it. Yeah, but shout out to all my roofers listening. You know, I love you.
That industry, think about how solar is affecting mm-hmm. that industry.
Absolutely.
It's going to be some real intersections that start to hit them as well.
1,000,000%. Yep. All over it too. Yeah. I mean, this is, like I said, it's somewhat all of it in my world too, because, you know, I have customers that are doing these things. And then when I think about the diagnostic piece of it, again, if I start to think about it selfishly, I wonder, well, I'm a marketing business. I have roughly 700, 800 contractors as customers. How is that going to impact my business? Does it, if it bypasses a marketing company, is that a problem? Slightly. That's a problem. I don't know that that's how it's going to pan out. They're still going to need it, but I'm just saying, like, it's enough to where I'm the CEO of a company. I need to think about those things because I only work in the trades.
Yeah. I read the book, Only the Paranoid Survive. There's a certain level of that, that's got a lot of truth to it. So.
Got to. It's a driver, man. It's a driver. It's a motivator. But I'm also just curious in nature. Like, I want to understand what could be. And I also have to push myself, you know, and listen, like, I've got a search engine optimization team here that, you know, has to struggle to keep up with all the changes that are coming out constantly from Google. So I just, it's the world I live in anyway. So I think we're probably about 45 minutes or so in, and I want to be respectful of our time too. And I love these conversations, you know, because one, I want our listeners just to hear all the things. And so even though it's not just nest, that's what you get to talk about, because that's the world that you're in. But this whole smart thermostat thing, if you're ignoring it, the hope is you start paying attention to it and you find an solution, right? Obviously Gene would want you to go Nest, but an solution to get on board and start to, you know, become more progressive for yourself with the phase that you're in. But I'm on board, man. I wish we would move a little bit quicker on technology. And I've had some really good conversations with president of Global Air and Water at Rheem. His name is Mike Branson, and Mike Branson and I have known each other a lot of years. He was a carrier guy. That's where I met him back in the day. I know he's heavy into that R&D space, but I just always like how he's a progressive thinker. But I talked to, in the marketing space about the herd mentality. And this certainly, I think, applies here too. And it's, you know, you kind of see what all the big players are doing. And then you're like, oh, well, they're doing this, so I need to do this. Even though you've not really educated yourself on exactly what they're doing or if it even makes sense to your size of business and your market and whatever.
Sure.
But it's the same thing in this space, right?
Yeah. Like, I call it bell cow.
Makes sense.
You know, you see somebody that's really successful doing some of those things, and there's a lot of people that pay attention to that, and rightfully so, for the right reasons. You know what I mean? Like, yep. If somebody's listening to our podcast right now and they still don't, you know, they don't like me or they don't like Nest, the one thing that I would say is, like, the take out of it is, take a look at what you're doing on the connected side from a control standpoint. And are you making the right decision? Because the industry itself still sells more non-connected product than connected.
Right.
And there are occasions where it doesn't make sense. Maybe it's a cabin in the woods and you have no Wi-Fi. Maybe it's a really senior person. They don't want anything to do with it. Or maybe it's just somebody who they have to do some work and they have to sell the home. So they're looking for the least expensive way meet whatever it is. I get where there are scenarios where connected may not make sense.
Yep.
But realistically, connected makes more sense. There's just too many benefits for you as a contractor and for the consumer to not have it as, like, this is the standard, and make sure that you're talking about it. Make sure you're including it, right? Even if you're not going to use my brand, you should use my brand. But I don't think that's the main message today.
Yeah. No, I agree. And that's what I was trying to say earlier. And really, I want what I was, where I was kind of going with that whole thing on the herd mentality too, is, in my opinion, was the clear pioneer in that space. And it's created a monster, a beast, if you will. And there's people that want to be that. And so are you starting to see some of these other like randoms coming out of the woodwork who are trying to get into the smart, like the smart thermostat game, the connected home game? Are you starting to see some of those things happening more and more, like the herd following?
I actually see it slimming down.
And
the reason I say that is because I think there's been this realization of who are the main building hardware is really, really expensive.
Yeah.
And so it's expensive and it's hard because of the software to run that hardware. And so just jumping into the game is not easy anymore.
Right.
What I see though on that herd mentality is, you know, the bigger the contractor, the more it seems like they understand the value point of what this can do for them. And then those are the bell cows that kind of go down to the smaller contractors that are aspiring to be that big and get their business that big. You talked about, just some of how that resonates across the trade, but,
cool. I think, you know, in my thought process on this, because having worked with Google for so long, I've seen a little bit different capacity, but I mean, I've done a lot of things with like when Google Home Services first rolled out early on, I have beta tested that. Rhino beta tested that when it opened up for HVAC. We did. Like we were the first ones that kind of went and then helped with that piece of it for the first 9 months before it rolled out open publicly. And which was what 2014. So I've kind of gotten involved with different things. And I thought what was going to happen is I was going to get all this information. I thought they were going to say, boop, we're going to buy you. We're going to bring you in. That's legit what I thought was going to happen.
Yeah.
And it's not, and it's okay because company is significantly bigger today, but the point being is, could you see a space where if you start to see someone who's kind of an up and comer gets great technology that you say, oh, well, they obviously are doing something. Then since we're the big boys, we can snatch them up. Or, I mean, I don't even know if that makes sense, but the point being is if there's one of those players that starts to get like some really good advancement in it, is that like, would that be part of a strategy that you guys would deploy?
I think if it made sense to, you know, add value to what we do is a total plug-in. We concentrate on right now. There's a lot of focus on energy, a lot of focus on connectivity, and a lot of focus on awareness, like making sure that you're able to know what's going on in your home. So if there are things out there, companies, would we acquire? I mean, Google buys companies, just like anybody
else. Of course.
But, you know, more important for us would probably be like, how do we, if it's a really great thing, how do we get that into our ecosystem? How do we enable that to operate in our world? I think that's what's really, I think, a main focus or driver first.
Yeah. I mean, it makes sense. I'm just like kind of spitballing with you a little bit, just as I'm thinking through this, like at the end of the day is my assumption is Google wants to be the best and your perspective is the best in this Nest thermostat. Like this is the best product. If we find one that could be, I think it's good to have great competition. It pushes all of us. I'm no different, but man, sometimes it's easier to say, well, let's just get that one and bring it in. And if it's better for the overall experience of the product and the service itself, it makes sense to me. I'm no different. I'm doing acquisitions as well. Right. And so it's just, sometimes easier for me to snatch that up, bring it in house, learn from it, and then make it better for the greater good, if you will. So speaking of which, this would be a great segue to our last question. And thanks for the time, because I think we're damn near an hour into this thing too. So it flies by. I told you, man, when you get in these conversations, like, I enjoy it. It moves through really quick.
I'm with you.
Dude, I take so much pride, you know, with our listeners and just, sharing like insights and maybe like what's coming, you know, and what's coming next. Like, and because that's kind of what I'm always looking at is what's next, what's next.
Sure.
So Gene, my man, tell me what's next on Google's horizon. Anything like coming out 2024 surprise, like anything you can share, like what's next, man, in your world that you can share, of course.
I can't share a specific product. We literally just, maybe it's 2 weeks now, you know, we just rolled out our new wired video doorbell. We rolled out our new Wi-Fi 6 gigahertz Wi-Fi, mesh Wi-Fi. So we always roll out new product. There will be, you know, always new product. But I think for the listeners and, you know, just call it fans of smart home, et cetera, and HVAC, energy is a major focus. And it will play a major role for the things that we think about investing in, and enabling, just whether it's you understanding what you're using for energy to helping you save energy, to giving you the ability to control that energy. That I think is, where you will continue to see us, you know, have a presence. And I think electrification of the home will only continue to get bigger. That's a global thing, not even just a US thing. Think about what's going on with Ukraine and Europe and what that's driving. I mean, in the UK, I forget what the exact dates are. It's not far away. Like, you won't have a fossil fuel boiler. It's going to be a heat pump.
Yep.
Right. And there are massive amounts of subsidization and government dollars and things that are being applied to make that happen. And that's for political reasons. It's for sustainability reasons, green reasons. Like, I think some of the latest, you know, ARI information, I don't have it in front of me, so I don't want to try to quote the number, but I believe heat pumps are now outselling gas furnaces, right? That's major.
Yeah, for sure.
So like, I pay attention to energy. We'll be paying attention to energy.
Well, I can tell you this from my world, because you can see who's searching for what, how many times on Google. I can tell you what heat pumps is trending upward and has been trending upward. And by the way, I love going after that keyword, because if somebody's searching for heat pump, somebody's already met with them once and told them what the hell heat pump is. And that's the only reason they've searched for it, was they're looking for a second bid on a
heat pump. And the cool thing about connected technology for contractors to know, like, forget about, you know, the fact that it keeps you connected with your customer and that's a smart thing for your business.
Yep.
As we learn great things about how we can help save energy, we can download that software into every thermostat that's already existing. So if we discover a better way to control a heat pump that helps save more money, but keeps everyone comfortable, we can just make that happen. Like, that's super cool. You don't have to go change the hardware.
Yeah. So that's the whole AI side of this thing. That thing is so cool.
Yeah. So I think those are just all the advantages, and it is very expansive. And so sometimes it's hard to get away from just the way that we used to think about the business.
Yep. Especially in this industry. I'm completely on board. Well, listen, I heard you say loud and clear, energy, energy. Well, hey man, Gina, listen, I appreciate it, man. I'm glad we finally got to get this thing done. I feel like it took us a few months to kind of get her locked down, but we did it. The timing is right. I'm excited, especially because it's a shoulder season for a lot of our contractors. So, you know, they're listening. We always see a nice little increase.
That's great.
In volume whenever it's the shoulder seasons. But bro, I appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks for sharing all your insight. Your story's cool. You know, I mean, it's what a fun world you're living in.
And thanks for having me on. It is a cool job. It's got challenges. Like, there's like any other job, it's got challenges, and there's a lot of sometimes I feel like I'm preaching. I don't want to use that word preaching. I'm just always just trying to tell the story, educate. And I'm always, you know, I have a lot of contractors that approach me with arms folded, and usually by the end, their arms aren't folded and they're nodding their head up and down and they're getting it. So I appreciate this opportunity to do some of that on a big, wider scale. And if there's an opportunity in the future, man, I would totally dig it.
Yeah. Well, I would say if you're open to it, if there's at least a good way for somebody to connect with you, and I don't necessarily mean, you know, you'd give them your phone number, but if there's a good way for the listeners to connect you, to ask you any questions, if it's email, if it's through LinkedIn, if it's through something like that, you mind sharing?
I'm a huge LinkedIn guy. Cool. So I love that. I'm a B2B guy, right? I've done Twitter and I think LinkedIn is an awesome,
it's the professional platform for this. Yeah. So it's all good.
It's just so good. So I'm just Gene Lanois, LANOIS. Yep. On LinkedIn. I have some contractors that hit me up directly. Please don't hesitate. I literally look at LinkedIn multiple times a day.
Yeah, me too. Well, thank you for that. And then listeners, take advantage of it. But Gene, thanks again, man. I appreciate it. I love this topic. It won't be the last time we have the conversation about this topic. I'll be curious to kind of go to see where this thing is, you know, 2 years removed from now, to see what kind of conversation we're having.
It will be different. Every 6 months, it feels like there's just some big chasms that are closed.
I love it. So. I love it. Well, listeners, you know, I'm going to finish this thing off with a review. I mean, we're probably a solid hour into this thing at this point in time, maybe even a little bit over, but it's worth taking the time for it. But hopefully you enjoyed those things, listeners. And again, I'm going to go ahead and finish with the review. This one is from Dwight E. And it says, I really enjoy listening to every one of your podcasts. It's funny, informative, and super valuable. I eagerly anticipate each new episode. So Dwight, thank you very much. And I hope you eagerly anticipated this episode and it was everything that you thought it would be. I'm sure Gene feels the same. So we appreciate you guys, listeners. Yeah. And listen, the big thing I heard from this was just some awareness around what truly can these smart thermostats do for your business. And whatever one it is, pick the one. Educate yourself on the value of this thing and the value to the homeowner, so that way you can truly believe it, but do something. And I heard him say energy. If Google is focusing on energy, I promise you there was a lot of thought process that went behind it before that became a focus. I promise you that's how that's working. But I mean, what's Elon Musk focusing on? I mean, lots of different things, but anyhow, I just, you know, listeners, I want you to take away from this particular podcast, man, if you're not doing something in this smart space, I promise you, you can get ahead of some of your competitors by doing it. So find a decision, make one.
Amen. And if we can help you, reach out. Our website for everyone, Chris, is g.co/nestpro. And they can sign up and from there, you know, they'll have access to information and we can email them when there's new products and new services. So hopefully that's helpful for everyone.
Absolutely. Perfect. And we'll go ahead and share that link in the post as well. So to make it easy for them to get to it and check it out. And that's my gift back to you for giving me your time. So thank you for that, Gene. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
And then to our listeners again, man, listen, like I always say, you don't got to do everything, but you got to do something. No 0 days. Listeners, thank you so much again for listening to this podcast week after week. We are extremely grateful. Again, the whole purpose of this podcast is to give back to the home services industry that we love so much, whether you're a Rhino or not. We really, really appreciate all the subscribers. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please go in and subscribe and you'll get all the episodes sent to you automatically weekly. Also, we have really enjoyed your feedback. It's so meaningful for us when we get to read the nice comments that you guys put. So keep doing that. And if you don't know how to do it, here's what you got to do. You search for To The Point Home Services on Apple Podcasts. You click on our profile, scroll all the way down to the bottom, and hit write a review. And be honest and share your story and how the podcast has impacted you and your business. Thanks again from the bottom of our hearts at To The Point Home Services Podcast. We appreciate you. Welcome to The Point Home Services, the podcast where real contractors share real strategies. We cut through the noise and get straight to the point with the contractors that are working in the field right now. If you run a home services business and want to lead better, grow faster, and stay sharp, you're in the right place. Now, before we get started, I need you to do one thing. Only 30% of our listeners are following the show. So stop what you're doing, hit follow, and let's get to the point.